You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
The cry of the Glyptodon is heard from the tall grass.
I was wondering what that was. I should have known.
It is the cry of the Glyptodon, and that means that you are listening to Blood of the Wild, our playthrough of Paizo's Quest for the Frozen Flame Adventure Path. Go ahead, Paula Deming.
I thought Tim Allen was here to run the game for us for a second, honestly. Like, it's the home improvement version of...
more See, power.
I instantly knew it was a Glyptodon.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, upon reflection.
I thought it was perfect. A perfect Glyptodon.
Clear. Yes, yep. That is the cry of the Glyptodon, and that lets you know that we are in the realm of the Mammoth Lords for our playthrough of Quest for the Frozen Flame for Paizo's Pathfinder 2nd Edition role-playing game. This is Blood of the Wild, and with me, as always, is my stellar cast of improvisers, actors, and raconteurs. Please welcome Joe O'Brien, Mary Lou, Paula Deming, and Skid Maurer. Good morning, Hello. Afternoon, or evening, players.
Hello.
Yes, depending on when you are listening to this, Mary Lou, later.
That's right.
Jared, I've got a question for you, sparked by your incredible
I want to just say, I've
Glyptodon.
Heard that a lot of our listeners prefer to listen in the bath.
Oh, you know what? I
Welcome
understand
to the bath,
that.
Then.
Yeah.
What was your question, Joe O'Brien?
My question was, are you, based on that Glyptodon, have you ever, and I would assume the answer is yes, but feel free to give any details you'd like to, have you ever been huddled in the brush, full camo, really big gun, some sort of duck calling device, to call out the ducks to murder them? Is that something that you have done in the past?
All right. So listeners, based solely on my voice, do you think I've ever done that? Well, let me see, Joe. I'm about to GM a tabletop role-playing game. So, no.
I don't think they're necessarily mutually exclusive.
They are not. They are not.
I've shot guns, and I role play shooting guns sometimes. So there
have you
can
shot,
be.
Have you shot and killed a duck? That's
absolutely
the
not.
Question
I okay. have terrible aim, and also I don't want to hunt, but I do just want to like shoot at a target sometimes.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a target mm-hmm. like a running person, like a person running
exactly.
away from you.
The
like
most
target.
Dangerous
or like,
game.
Or like
Where's
someone
the challenge
in a hoodie
of shooting at a mere duck?
Like a that's less of a target and more like a victim. That's right. What we call those.
I just think when I see someone in a hoodie, I'm like, uh-oh.
Gotta get him. See, now that tracks.
I peaked my microphone laughing so hard at that just now. Oh, boy. I'm going to pull my levels down for all you at home, because I bet someone's going to make me laugh like that again.
Mary Lou, have you ever shot a gun?
I've never even shot a gun. And my family are the people who like sleep underneath the trophies of the deer that they
really
killed, and we like eat them. My dad's hunting partner, his name is Wild Bill.
I love that.
Wild Bill.
That is his name. I love seeing him at church. He wears his cowboy boots. He told me this story about how he didn't clean out his wife told him to clean out his chest, his ice chest, before he went hunting. And he like landed this great deer and packed it up, but he didn't clean out his chest. And so the deer went bad on the drive back from Amarillo, because they always go up to Amarillo. And he goes, and the moral of that story is, I should have listened to my wife. And I was like, Wild Bill coming in with the wisdom. Yeah, so But me personally, though I do dream of it, I have never even held a gun, I don't believe.
Really?
I find them fundamentally terrifying.
It's good to have a healthy fear of the firearm, I find. It's respectful. And I mean that very, very seriously.
They are instruments of death.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that they're set out to accomplish. And
100%.
So I think of a healthy fear of them is important.
I would like to say though, I think I'd be really good at it. Just for the record.
I think you would
I've
be
never
too.
Even held a gun. I've never shot one, but I want everybody to assume that I'm really good.
That you'd be a good shot. It's easy. You know what? It
that
seems
I'd be
easy.
A great shot. I just feel like I would.
I'll just say that if you have guns, be responsible. Put them in a safe, lock them away. You got to store the ammunition differently. You got to exercise good trigger control. Anytime you hand that gun to anyone else, you need to demonstrate to them the chamber is empty. You always point it away from a person. Like if you're going to have them, you need to be responsible. And that is what I will say because that is what I believe as a person who has guns in her house.
You have guns in your house?
You hear that? Robbers that are casing Paula's house by listening to her podcast. Nice try. Yeah, better nice look try. Again. Better
they
look again.
I'll accidentally dox myself at some point. That's why they listen.
Yeah, yeah. They listen to see if you accidentally happen to mention where you hide a key outside.
Don't go for Paula. She's got guns. Don't go for me. I have two guard cats.
That's right.
That's right. Large cats.
Oh boy! Wow.
Did your dad ever? Sorry, I want to get it back to guns for a second. Did your dad ever say like, "I'd like to teach you to hunt with me"? And you were like, "Hard pass, Dad."
My dad didn't really hunt when I was growing up. It was more of a like my cousins and family who were in Texas because we lived in California, and now that my family has moved to Texas, because apparently I'm an adult who can take care of myself, whatever. they go hunting every season.
Because that's what you do. That's what you do.
That's just what you do. You go,
I spent 3 months season. Of COVID with my in-laws in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of that, I had spent about $400 on fishing equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it just, right.
And I love fishing. I grew up fishing, but like when I moved to New York, there was no more fishing. It's just not something you did. But it got me back into it because that's what everybody does.
That's
you hunt,
you, do.
You fish. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you do eat it.
Right. Yeah. And then you eat it.
My family always made sausage.
Ooh. I'm just curious.
Make sausage out of the deer.
So, Skid, I think if I remember correctly, you keep a small derringer in your sock.
Yes. Yes. I have one
just
in
always
my,
on.
One in my sock, one in my handbag.
Yeah.
you just never know.
One shot is all Skid needs.
What in my handbag?
Well, shall we go someplace where there are no guns?
No guns.
Yes, please. No,
that's my fantasy, going to a world where there are no guns. So let's do it, everybody. Here is my overwritten intro.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure and No Rolls Barred. Search realms of peril and glory to find out more.
Welcome to Mick Unplugged, the number one podcast for self-improvement and modern leadership. I'm Mick Hunt, your host, and I'm here to challenge your why and fuel your because. This is where leaders, entrepreneurs, and go-getters come to level up. Each week, I bring you unfiltered conversations, game-changing strategies, and the kind of motivation that transforms lives and legacies. I've learned from legends like Les Brown, Damon John, and Robert Irvine. And now, I'm bringing their lessons, along with mine, straight to you. From modern leadership tips to creating unstoppable momentum, this is the podcast that redefines what's possible. Hit play, subscribe, and join the millions who've made Mick Unplugged their go-to source for growth and greatness. Because your next breakthrough is just one episode away. This is Mick Unplugged, the voice and face of modern leadership, entrepreneur, and self-improvement. Let's get started.
The other lords say our days are numbered, our following dwindles, enemies dog our footsteps, and we have failed in our sacred charge. They say we will soon pass away into the endless Arctic night. They are mistaken. We are strong. Broken, but strong. The snow blinds our eyes, and yet we see true. The wind freezes our skin, and yet we endure. Their weapons break our bones, and yet we stand tall. Our hearts beat, and it is like the sound of a herd of mammoths stampeding across the tundra. And in each heart flows the blood of the wild. Thank you, Mary Lou.
Yeah.
I love that intro.
Yeah, welcome back to the realm of the Mammoth Lords, everybody. And here we are on the frozen tundra, and I'll do a brief recap. Last time, our group of scouts, they finished with a moose hunt, and they headed back to the Broken Tusk encampment. All of our scouts, our players, are members of the Broken Tusk Following, a group of nomadic hunter-gatherers in the very northern realm of the Mammoth Lords. After heading back to camp, you all sort of engaged in your own activities. We saw AWOL, Joe's character, who is an artist, head to a cave where he created some cave paintings, but then failed his crafting roll you rolled a natural one. So all of the paints kind of ran together, and you didn't really capture the majesty of the moose at all. We saw Mary Lou's character, Raga, and her bear, Baba, interact with Emek, a child of the Following. And Raga and Emek have some things in common, mainly that they have a way with animals. And they sort of convened about that. Meanwhile, we also learned that Yelka, Paula's character, and Skid's character, Olog, are brother and sister, even though Olog is a large foundling orc. And Yelka is a dangerous psychic who creates a localized...
A danger to herself and others, perhaps. Who knows?
Yes. She's a powder keg of electricity and storm winds. And you both talked with your father, adoptive father, in Olog's case, Gronam, who is, one of the more cunning, they say, members of the Following, who is more of a forager and a trap maker than a great hunter. And you all had a moment to kind of reflect on the moose hunt and your scout training with Weepa before you were asked by Grandfather Awa, one of the Mammoth Lords who leads the Following, to engage in three tasks to prepare for the celebration, the Night of the Green Moon, which is coming in three nights hence. So in order to prepare for the Night of the Green Moon, Father Awa and another Mammoth Lord, Letsua, asked you to do these three tasks. First, they wanted you to scout Rockloom, which is the celebration site, the ritual site, and make sure that everything looked like it was prepared and ready for the Night of the Green Moon. They've also asked you to carry water from the Gornok River in some ceremonial vessels back to camp. And finally, they've heard that there are some giant tapirs in the area that they would like to add to the Following's herd. And they've asked you to go find these giant tapirs and lead them back to the Following. You guys decided that first you would take on Rockloom. And so let us journey to Rockloom. At the end of our last session, we saw you all running toward Rockloom, and eventually you arrive. Rockloom is, of course, up on up on a hill, and I have just moved you in roll 22 rock loom, and you can see that it is a circle of standing stones.
Whoa.
And they're very large.
They're huge.
they're huge. That's right.
Oh, yeah.
And the wind is blowing a little harder up here because you're up at, on top of a hill. And you can investigate, scout around, and make sure that everything looks in preparation for the night of the green moon. One other detail. Each of the stones, although it may not be clear from our roll 20 image, each of the stones is shaped like a different animal that is one of the totems of the following of the Broken Tusk. So there's an otter stone, and there is a musk ox stone, etc. Let me know what you'd like to do as you scout out and make sure everything's in preparation.
Is this the kind of place that we would have been to multiple times in our life at this point?
I think that that's very likely because the following comes here every year on its migratory route. And I think that before you didn't have a hand in preparing for the celebration, you probably just attended the celebration as young people. All of our characters are 16 to 18, I think. So I think before you probably just attended as a young person on the night of the green moon. But here you are involved with the business of adults. It is your coming of age this season, and you are helping to prepare these things.
Okay. Everything looks normal at first glance, like over the wide area. Like,
well, what are you looking at? Tell me kind of what you'd like to explore.
I want to explore just the grounds. I mean, do we know if the ceremony takes place in front of the center stone? Like that kind of thing? It's so big that it's like how much of the following, you know, you could fit a couple followings in this space.
That's right.
It's so huge.
Your following is small. There are only 80 some odd members of your following, which is not a large following. So all of them can fit kind of here inside the circle of standing stones, more or less, in a large crowd. And that is where the ritual will take place, the celebration.
Okay. I just want to say for the listeners, I mean, some of these stones are like 20 feet wide. Like they're big.
Yeah, it's true. They're massive.
They're massive. All right. AWOL then is going to rely on survival to start, and he's going to look for tracks of predators. He's going to look to see if there have been any movements or scat or anything like that of known predators in the area that could jump the following if they came here.
Absolutely. Give me a survival roll.
He's just walking around grasslands in front of the rocks. That is a 10.
A 10. You don't see any tracks of animals or any sort of humanoid here. You do notice something, though. One of the stones is broken off at the top. And looking among the animal totems here, you realize that it is the raven.
I was just going to go look at that one.
That is your totem.
That is mine.
Yeah. Your specific totem in your house is the raven. You're in House of Otter, is that right?
I'm House of a Moose.
House of the Moose, and
I'm
your
House
totem is Raven, mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 So as soon as I see AWOL looking at this broken raven stone, I will also notice it and go over to see why, what's happened, what is it? How much of it is broken?
It looks like the raven part of it. So the stone kind of, you know, it is like a Stonehenge type oblong block standing on one end. But then as it comes toward the top, it should sort of taper into like the rough shape of the raven animal. But instead, it is cracked and broken off there, and the raven part of the stone is missing.
Does it? I'm sorry if I'm jumping into what you were doing here, Joe.
No, not at all.
Does it look like... I'm going to do a quick... Yelka starts to, like, circle around and see, has it just, like, fallen? Is it just on the other side of the of the stone here? Like, is it, can I see the broken bit, or
I'll show you which
been carried away?
Yeah, I'll show you where the stone is. It's here. Okay. Mm-hmm. And, you do not see the raven part of the stone behind or around this stone anywhere. There are maybe a few little chunks of the stone kind of lying around it, but not the large raven part at all. And you can see that this stone sort of stands at the base of a hill with a large boulder at the bottom.
Raga has always been very interested in religion because it's not something that the bears have. She wants to look around and see if there are any other signs of perhaps desecration or any other sort of mischief.
She wants to make a religion roll.
Religion roll.
Interesting. Yes. All right. You may do so. You are recalling knowledge using religion.
Mm-hmm. That is a 23.
A 23 is a really good score. And so for a religious roll of 23, I don't know that I can tell you anything in terms of desecration. It doesn't look like anything else has been desecrated, vandalized at all. Yeah.
Olog, will you come over here and give me a boost? I want to try and see if I can scramble up this stone and get a closer look at what's been broken.
And Olog snorts. This big blast of mist comes out of his nose, and he comes over and helps.
I don't know if it's even how tall it really is. If it's even, I want to get up as high on this thing as I can to get a closer look at the broken part. I don't know how climbable it is, but hopefully with this boost.
Yeah. You know, if Olog is helping you. And Olog has a strength of 18, and we've established Olog is like 7'4", right, Skid?
Correct.
Yeah. I think that even though the stones are quite tall, I'm not going to make you make a climb roll for this. I think you can kind of scramble up. Mm-hmm. And when you do, I think I'll reveal some of the hill above because you have a little bit of a higher vantage point.
Ooh.
And so you see a hill. You see that it's sort of in many areas surrounded by kind of foliage at the top. There are bushes and small stunted trees all over the place. And I can tell you that the thing that you immediately notice without any kind of extra roll is that there are a lot of ravens perched about.
Huh. Interesting. And when I look at the broken part of the rock, can I get any sense of if it looks like, was it struck by lightning? Does it look like purposely like chiseled off? I don't even know if it's possible to tell. Does it look
Did
like
it
intentionally
explode
done
from the inside?
Yeah, like, or is there anything unusual about the way it's broken?
That's
was
an
it
interesting
off
question.
With the beaks of ravens, or maybe
actually,
just like, I don't know, it's broken rock.
Is it actually a giant egg?
It's actually a giant egg, like the Earth in the movie Eternals. No, it is. Is it broken off? Let's see. What kind of skill do you think you might use to find that out?
I think I might use nature, and here's why. I think there is a difference, perhaps, in the way rock looks when it has naturally broken because of some force of nature, or when someone has come at it with some sort of tool and purposely removed something.
Agreed. Go ahead and roll nature.
That is a 19 total.
That is a success, and I can tell you that it's definitely been broken off somehow.
Like on purpose.
Deliberately.
It looks like something has somehow cracked it in half, because this is not something that would happen naturally from erosion the way that it's broken. However, it is interesting. The break, I don't know, there's something odd about it to you.
What do you see up there?
Well, this looks like it's cracked. It doesn't look like this was naturally broken. There's something weird about it. I can't quite get a sense. I just have a very strange feeling. And also, up on this hillside, I can see there are ravens everywhere.
Perhaps it was struck by lightning? Have we had storms recently?
Yeah, could I just do on that? Could I look to see if maybe it would be a big chunk of rock, but see if there's any evidence of it falling and rolling down the hill, basically, and that's why it's not here?
Absolutely. And
see if there's any ruts in the ground that could have.
Yeah, I'm not going to make you roll for that because you did a scouting roll earlier with survival. I'm going to say that you kind of go down the hill a little bit to kind of see if maybe you see a rolling, and you do not. You do not. Actually, I've changed my mind. That's a girl's prerogative. Would you please roll survival?
Yes. I am looking for something different at this point, and that is a better roll, 21.
There you go.
And that's enough to see the tracks that you missed earlier.
So,
the stone has not rolled down the hill, but someone left very heavy treads headed up toward the west side of the hill.
Is that where the ravens are?
Yes, that's where a large flock of ravens is perched on the various bushes.
The stone didn't roll down here.
I was looking around.
But I think I see something else.
So
Olog.
Olog has sort of a complicated relationship with Corvids. Because as people listened to the character building sessions would know, but you guys wouldn't. When he was found, his band of orcs had been wiped out completely, except he was an infant, and he was crying, and they found him, and he was surrounded by all of these dead crows that had been trying to peck him alive, and he had crushed all of their necks, like, as they came up.
Amazing.
So that's how he got the name Crowborn.
I love baby Olog.
So he has this sort of, they're sort of totemic for him, but they also tried to kill him like when he was a baby. So he slings off. He takes his gigantic, oversized even for him, great axe in hand. And he starts climbing the hill with determination.
Wait,
Olog!
I am 40, 50 plus feet away.
Well, what I would like for you guys to do is I would like for you to move your characters to the base of the hill, you know, wherever you think you would be exploration wise, because something happens as Olog starts to climb the hill.
As Olog is going, I'm like, I'm still perched on top of this stone.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, and I'm going to try to just scramble down and jump down and hopefully not hurt myself.
Okay. Well, you're going to do that in a second.
Okay.
I think we're going to leave you there just for a moment, great, Yelka. Because as Olog, as you try to climb the hill here, you notice that it's pretty covered in brush and bushes, and it's pretty steep. So this is going to be, you don't have to climb it, but it is difficult terrain, okay?
Okay.
And Olog, as you do that, suddenly the birds start to caw, 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 and they start to flap their wings, and Olog, they sound angry, Olog, and that is when an enormous cluster of them all starts flapping toward you. Caw, caw, caw! A swarm of ravens, a murder of ravens, if you will, is descending upon Olog, and I would like everybody to roll initiative.
Oh, no! Maybe.
The Regency era. You might know it as the time when Bridgerton takes place, or as the time when Jane Austen wrote her books. The Regency era was also an explosive time of social change, sex scandals, and maybe the worst king in British history. Vulgar History's new season is all about the Regency era, the balls, the gowns, and all the scandal. Listen to Vulgar History Regency Era wherever you get podcasts.
Goodbye, Kyle!
Did the sound of those words call to you like Pavlov's dog? Then you might enjoy our podcast, Turtle Time.
Every week, you can join me, Riley Hamilton, and my co-host, Amy Scarlatta, as we cover the most pressing Bravo news and dig into the new episodes to answer important questions like, who the hell is Adrian Malouf in this world?
Listen to Turtle Time on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes every Wednesday and Friday.
From the darkest corners of our imagination comes a game show that's more ridiculous than terrifying. Welcome to Tickled to Death. I'm your host, Roz Hernandez, and I'll be guiding guests through the creepy questions and chaotic games, all to win the ultimate title of Horror Movie Champion. Listen to Tickled to Death wherever you get your podcasts, and hit follow, unless you want the show to follow you.
What did I say before we started this session?
Let me talk to them.
I said, we can't just run off after whatever we find here. And what's the first thing you did?
I know. First.
It's like, why did it have to be crows? If it wasn't crows,
ravens, he wouldn't have gone.
Mm-hmm. It's like Indiana Jones, crows. Exactly. Why did it have
wondering
to be crows?
If they're like surrounding some other poor little orc baby.
That, right. I mean, where would I be then?
I'm also just picturing like the way this scene unfolds is with AWOL going down the hill looking for the sign of this rock crushing through the soil, but instead seeing these big tracks and just being like, oh no. And like looking up, and as he looks up, he's like, oh look! And he just sees him walking away up the hill so far away. I mean, he's like 60, 70 feet away.
Yeah,
and he's just like, no, and he's just gonna start running toward Olag because maybe he doesn't know the level of danger that's up there with the size of these tracks.
Totally.
Also, can I ask, are the tracks humanoid? Are they clawed tracks? Are they giant round, just like a elephant?
Tracks.
Like, you just noticed them when Olag starts climbing the hill. Maybe you can find out in a second. But right now, I want your initiative.
Mm.
I got a 15.
15 for AWOL.
Got a 4.
A 4 for, was that Yelka or?
Sorry, that was Raga.
Raga, a 4 for Raga.
Remind me, what do I add to this to get my initiative?
Perception.
That's what I thought.
Unless you were doing something specific otherwise during exploration. Yeah.
If you were stealthing, it would be stealth.
Oops,
or in a
then
social
I'm a 10.
Encounter, it might be diplomacy. Raga, did you say,
cool.
Oh wait, I'm sorry. Yelka,
Raga's a 10.
Raga's a 10. Okay.
I forgot to add perception.
Oopsie.
Yep. Important. Okay, and what about you, Yelka?
Well, I also rolled a 4 on the die, but my perception's 5, so that would be a 9 for Yelka. Who maybe
okay.
is just going to stay on top of this stone after all.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, and that leaves us with Olag, I believe.
I got it. I also got a 9.
Oh, a 9 boy. As well. Okay. Well, Olag, that means that you are the one that jumps into action first, as you see. And by the way, this swarm of ravens, it's like a black cloud. It's so thick, it looks like a big inky blot that's suddenly blotting out the sun and headed toward Olag. What do you do?
So Olag, yeah, he sees this cloud. This is like probably mirrors nightmares that he's had his whole life. Just this swarm of
they've come back
birds.
For revenge, Olag.
Yeah.
But it is AWOL's turn to act first.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah, you said Olag, Jared, so I was very confused. Yeah, sorry.
forgive me.
It's 100%
AWOL.
Jared's fault. Skid. Right. AWOL is not going to take the time to identify a creature at this point. He's nervous for Olag, and he just really is going to try to grab him. I'm going to say AWOL doesn't even know there's crows there yet. He's just going to try to grab him and stop him from going up there. He just yells, Olag! And he just starts running.
Okay. Is he able to make it over to Olag?
Yep, exactly. That is exactly 75 feet. Oh, wait. How much of that was difficult terrain, though? When does
None of it, because the difficult terrain starts as you ascend the hill, which Olag was just about to do. But
so
he
I got to just
yet.
Behind Olag. So he just starts sprinting up. He's like, Olag, no! And he grabs, starts to grab like the back of his belt or his furs that are on his hulking giant back.
Wait!
And that means it is now the Raven Swarm's turn.
Mm.
And the Raven Swarm can move to engulf both Olag and AWOL now.
Oh no.
It flies over and engulfs them both.
Oh my god.
And then
oh, that's gotta be
the
so
Raven
terrifying.
Swarm is going to use swarming beaks. So its first action was moving. Its second action is using swarming beaks. Both of you need to make a basic reflex save.
Oh, no. Oh, my
God. Basic reflex. Okay. We're getting into it. Getting into it. I feel like that's a fail. That's a 19.
Okay. And what about Olog?
That's a 9 for me.
A 9. Both of you are just suddenly hit by beaks and talons just scraping against your skin and your head, and the beaks are nailing you in the face and in the throat and in the eyes, and you rolled a 9,
yeah.
Skid? Oh,
crit
God.
Fail?
You crit failed.
Oh, no.
Skid, Olog is blinded. The crows are, the ravens are literally tearing into Olog's eyes and making them bleed. Olog is now blinded for one round.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Oh,
my God.
This has to be so scary for Olog.
But that's not the only thing that happens. Yes, it's very scary. The other thing that happens is that you take piercing damage. 1d8 of it. I'll just roll it once for both of you. You take 3 piercing damage each. 3 piercing damage each. And you know what the Raven Swarm will do then? It will actually, I think it will stay here. Will it forego its third action? No, it's not going to stay here. Here's
and the swarming beaks is one action.
And that's one action, right? It has a third
this
action, and it is going to fly to where Yelka is.
No,
up in the
air,
up on the top of the stone, and
my own totem.
Yeah, it's got plenty of movement. It flies to where Yelka's on top of the stone, and they're all like flapping around you now, Yelka, and like maybe you're like losing your balance, and in fact maybe we'll find out next time the ravens get to go. They're not able to use their swarming beaks yet, and that brings us to Raga.
Oh my gosh. Oh my god.
Okay, this might be optimistic, but is it too late to try diplomacy, to try wild empathy, to try and make an impression and get them to like stop? Is it too late?
Can you describe wild empathy to me?
Okay.
Do you have that in front of you? I can bring
it up.
I have
a connection to the creatures of the natural world that allows me to communicate with them on a rudimentary level. I can use diplomacy to make an impression on animals and to make very simple requests of them. In most cases, wild animals will give you time to make your case.
Well,
but that's wild animals.
Yes, these are wild animals. They are enraged for some reason. That means that the difficulty will be high, but I will allow you, if you move to where they can see you, because you're a little bit hidden around a stone kind of right now. Not really hidden, but you're kind of like a little ways from them. If you move toward them to where you can make your case, I will allow you to try diplomacy with a swarm of ravens.
This is amazing. Like they have a hive mind. Right? I love it.
Guys, guys.
Okay.
All right, first action moving.
First
and now
action.
You may make your...
I move.
Make
like an angry mob, and you have to talk them down.
I'm going to make an impression.
All right. So
oh, my God.
Can I just hear what you say to them? Or how you communicate to them?
Role maybe play it based on that role, Mary Lou.
Yeah, okay. Role play it based on that role, and maybe maybe it's not, you know, actually speaking. It's whatever you think Raga does in these situations.
Okay. Raga runs to the center of or to an open part of this clearing, and she goes, "Ravens, wait! Do not do this! We are your friends. We do not want to hurt you." And then she remembers, "Oh, I gotta say this in Raven. I really gotta say this in Raven." So she goes, but she forgets.
Okay.
She forgets that Raven gerund modifiers are not the same as crow, and she accidentally says something incredibly insulting.
No.
Instead of saying "stop, we don't want to hurt you,"
stop,
she says like
"we want to hurt you."
Stop, we want to hurt you.
Stop,
not.
So we can hurt you.
And they're like, "Oh, she's telling a bad joke, and she wants to hurt us." And so I don't think they're moved. I rolled a 6.
Okay, a 6 is not enough. And I would even go so far as to say that's a crit fail.
Yeah, I rolled a 1.
I'm going to rule that the ravens aren't just angry right now. They're angry at Raga.
Great. Cool.
We'll see what they do shortly. Now it comes to Yelka or Olog. You both rolled a 9, so you can go in whatever order you wish.
How do you feel here, Olog?
Well, Olog is... I figured just because he's blind that
yes.
you would probably have the advantage yeah. right now.
That makes total sense. First.
So I would like to... So a swarm of ravens is surrounding me and potentially almost knocking me off this stone. This is happening. Is this swarm count as a single living creature in terms of target?
Interesting. Reasons? Does it count as a single living creature in terms of target? Why?
Well, because I would like to harm them before they harm me. And it targets one living creature. But they're surrounding me as
they are
a
surrounding
single
you.
Being.
They are surrounding you, but I think we can all agree that a swarm of ravens is not a single living creature.
Mm. I don't know what to do. Okay.
Maybe
how far
just
are...
your GM giving doing you a solid, maybe get out of there before they use their swarm of beaks.
Yeah, I also think that like it's reasonable to think that in this situation,
well,
Yelka might be like, I gotta get the fuck out of here! Like, they're swarming over you.
Well, mm-hmm. here's the thing. I could, actually, if I spend all three of my actions, this would disperse negative energy in a 30-foot emanation targeting all living and undead creatures
yeah,
in the area.
Oh,
how
yeah.
close are my friends to me right now?
I'm pretty close.
Yeah,
yeah, but you're Raga, but you're up at least 10 feet on a rock.
Yes, you are. You're up at least 10 feet on a rock, and it looks
oh,
like Raga
is... Oh, and I'm
20
feet away.
And Raga's 20 feet away, and so are your friends. Guess what, Yelka? Climbing up on that rock means that you can use your emanation right
Do
now.
It.
Yes. Do it.
Okay, in a moment of panic, because she's very scared of falling off of this rock, she almost, without even being able to control it, she kind of... brushes her hand across the raven feathers at the collar of her armor here, and she then takes her hands and pushes them out like she's physically pushing negative energy from them, and she just yells the word stop, and from that disperses this negative energy. If the target is a living creature, you deal 1d8 negative damage to it, and it gets a basic fortitude save.
Great. So I'm going to roll the basic fortitude save, and it rolled a 19. What is your spell DC?
17.
Okay, so if the target succeeds, that means they still take half damage.
Yes.
So
okay,
how much?
Cool.
Right, so something
can,
gets through. So
you, yeah, yeah, something gets through. You can roll your damage.
It's a 1d8, so I'm hoping for an 8. Come on, baby. It's a 4,
yeah.
So that's 2 damage.
Okay, 2 damage.
Swarm.
Okay,
and all 3 of my actions.
I can tell you, though, that as you might imagine, when that negative energy shoots out of you, it does hit a lot of ravens, and feathers kind of fly in the air, and you hear them, like, call out, and their caws sound less predatory and more like, as they spread out from
Chicken
you.
Chicken swarm!
So, I can tell you that it feels like your spell was effective, okay?
Okay.
And that is Yelka's turn. Olog, you are blinded. Olog, what would... Oh, no, I'm so sorry. Do you have any other actions? Or that was all three of
that
your actions,
all
right?
All three of my actions. So, unfortunately,
okay.
I can't do anything to help Olog. But, yeah,
Olog,
to
shoot
it
you.
Out in emanation. It was all three.
Olog, okay. It's you. You're blinded.
So, Olog, like, he's... Like, there's blood running into his eyes.
Olog.
And... But he hears Yelka, like, behind him do this. And he probably feels the waves of energy, these like kind of shock waves coming off of her emanation. And he's like, no. And he immediately is just like, I fucked up again.
No.
And it's like, my sister. So he screams, he's like, Yelka! And he's going to do a perception check to try to follow the sound of the swarm. So
So mm-hmm. seek roll.
A seek action.
You are at -4 status penalty to that check.
Okay, so I rolled a natty 19, so that's a 20.
With a -4?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's amazing. Okay, then you definitely, you seek them. You see them.
Okay.
It's the power.
You know where they are.
Sibling okay. love.
You know where they're at.
All right, so he's just sort of like, just boom, boom, boom. He turns and he just runs as fast as he can without being able to see back towards Yelka and the swarm. And he starts climbing the stele. He starts, like, he digs his hands into the standing stone and starts trying to climb up to get to them.
As you might imagine, it's quite hard to climb without someone helping you like you helped earlier. So you may go ahead and give me an athletics roll to see if you can get up there.
Okay. Ah, and come on. Athletics, that is a 11.
An 11. That is not enough. And so Olag, blinded, blood kind of trickling down from your eyes, you know, furious to help your sister, you're just sort of clawing at the side of the stele and not able to get up it.
And he did. He dropped his axe in the process. It's just laying at his feet.
Oh, that's terrible. Okay, so Olag is there, blinded, but I believe now that we're going back to the top of the round, you are no longer blinded, or actually it will happen on the Raven's turn, I think at the end of the Raven's turn. So now we come to AWOL. You can act again.
Okay. AWOL is going to use... Okay, so he's going to pull... He's got a short bow on his back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's going to pull this bow off of his back. And he's looking to see if he can hit this creature without hitting Yelka. I mean, these swarms, right? To see if he can just, like, take out a couple of them without hitting Yelka. He is going to hunt prey. So he'll use an action to, like, zero in on these things and try to make a decent shot. He'll then pull an arrow out and fire.
What's his range?
I'm right in the middle of him.
Yeah, exactly. He's like,
wait, I thought you were blind.
Oh, wait, this is the apple on the head.
I mean, if AWOL makes this, he's a master marksman. Oh, actually, I shouldn't say master. That's actually a rule in Pathfinder 2E.
Yeah,
but he's an excellent
trained
marksman.
Trained marksman.
He's a trained marksman.
Trained marksman.
Okay, and he has the range, right? Because it looks like he's 20 feet away from the stone, and then the stone is like 10 feet up.
Yeah, the range is 60 feet.
Okay.
On the short bow. So he is going to knock an arrow, wait that extra second, breathe, and loose.
Oh my god, Yelka, I'm so sorry. I hate this.
So miserable.
Oh,
I got a 23.
Oh, yes.
A 23.
Yes.
Nice.
That definitely hits its AC.
Nice. Yes!
Nice. Okay. He does 6 points of piercing damage. Magic
points
damage.
But so it feels like he doesn't, because he hits one of the ravens, and of course it goes down, but the others continue to flap around.
Yeah.
Your arrow was about as effective as an arrow can be against this swarm.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So it probably hits for half damage or something like that. I'm hoping that much, but we'll see.
The swarm was going to go after Raga because Raga had angered it.
Insulted it in its own language.
But that was before Yelka let loose a blast of energy that injured and killed many of the members of the swarm. And before Olag started trying to climb up there. So what the swarm will do instead is it will move to where it can hit both. It can peck both Olag and Yelka, and it will make them both make a reflex save.
Holy moly.
Come on.
Man, I've never seen a swarm use this three-dimensionally.
It's like it's around the entire stella now. It's up
scary.
At the top with Yelka, but it's also like it's a cyclone of black shapes.
Right, in an Alfred Hitchcock movie.
Yeah. Yes. All right,
21.
21. Yelka, yes. You are not hit by their beaks. They're still afraid of you, or maybe some of that
There's
negative
like
energy
residual.
Is still emanating from you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Olog, how did you do?
I got a 9 again.
Oh my God.
A 9! That's another critical miss.
Oh my God. Oh, it fits the character, though. It fits the character.
Yeah.
Olog,
yeah.
You take an additional 3 damage, and you are blinded for. Let me roll. Oh, okay, no. This time it's a 1 round again. So you would have become unblinded, but you do not. And you continue to be blinded. And then does the Raven Swarm want to do something else? Okay, you know what? Now it will move to Raga. It will move to Raga.
All right, do it.
So it flies down toward Raga, but it is out of action, so it will not use its swarming beaks yet.
You made a mistake. You just made a huge mistake.
Yes. Okay.
And in fact, it is Raga's turn.
Okay, so the first thing that Raga is going to do is that she is going to cast Invoke True Name, where I speak the true name of a creature to more surely affect it with my magic.
Yeah. Oh.
Yes. Now, here's how this spell is going to work. It's from Secrets of Magic, and sometimes, Raga, I don't think you're going to know the true name of a creature unless you use a Recall Knowledge check. Okay.
Interesting. Okay.
But
I bet it's Cheryl. Try
but
Cheryl.
As a druid lives in the realm of the Mammoth Lords and
who
can
knows
talk to
Raven.
Animals, you know the true name of Ravens. So you may go ahead and invoke that.
Okay, thank you very much. I cast Invoke True Name. I remember everything I know about Raven culture and Raven language, and I go. And I feel what? Like if the ravens had ears, they'd all go like, Like, they'd be like, oh.
They'd do like the when little your cat mom, ear swivel.
Like when your mom calls your full name, including your middle name, and you get that little like pit in your stomach, like, uh-oh. That's, I think, what Raga has just done. She has called the swarm's full Christian name in front of all its friends.
And let's be clear, this raven swarm is Christian.
It is. Definitely Christian. Okay. Well, now I have to decide.
What does
which
invoke
one
true
to do.
Name give you? It gives you, I believe, a yes. Status bonus.
It gives you. You are flat-footed against my spells. The swarm is now flat-footed against my spells and takes a -2 circumstance penalty to saving throws against
excellent.
My spells.
Awesome. Excellent.
And the first time in the turn that you take damage from one of my spells, you have weakness to my damage.
Oh, interesting. Weakness 1?
2. Weakness double the 2. Level of invoke true name. And so the level is 1, and so it has weakness 2 to whatever damage I decide to do.
Well, what are you going to do? You have 2
actions
left.
Ooh, this is tough. This one's tough.
What do you choose?
I know which one. I have 2 really good ones. Okay, hold on. Yes. Okay, I'm going to do Gouging Claw. And okay, let me just roll it first and see if I hit. Yeah, maybe. 25.
Oh, yes.
25.
Come on.
So you see Raga go, ah! And her hands become like these claws that extend out, and they honestly look like bear claws extending from her pale white skin. These black claws, talons extend from her hands, and she begins to spin and slash in this swarm.
Take them down.
Great. The damage I do is 8. I do 8 damage now.
It's slashing damage, right?
It is either slashing or piercing, and I've decided slashing.
Great.
And was that a critical success?
A 25?
25.
Yeah. Let me check. It is not a critical success.
Okay.
So here's what happens. All of that stuff you just described does happen, and you are smacking ravens out of the air, like whoosh, whoosh, and there's blood that kind of splashes onto your claws as you do so. And although you don't ever really hit it's not one creature. You don't really ever hit all of them. You hit enough of them because although it has a resistance to your slashing damage.
You
did 8 slashing damage, didn't you?
Yeah. And it has a weakness because of Invoke True Name.
Oh, yes. And it has a weakness. So you actually ended up doing 5 altogether. And that means suddenly they go, caw, 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 and they disperse and fly off.
Yes.
Raga.
I think
Raga comes too, and she's like, she's standing heaving with her claws, extended in front of her, like standing like Wolverine, right? Just like, and she goes, oh, I regretted doing that so much. I wish I would have remembered my raven modifiers. I could have stopped us from fighting. They're such noble creatures. I wonder what enraged them so much.
It's a great question.
Oh, have we done something to offend them?
AWOL's going to run up to Olag.
You're right.
Leap down from the stone. Also,
now that encounter mode is over, I'm going to allow you to do that without a roll.
Okay. And I'll say, AWOL, give me a little space, and I will start to look at Olag and see how hurt he is.
I don't think he can see. I don't think he can see.
And he's like backing away and like frightened at Olag's look of his face.
It's okay, Olag. It's okay. Olag, he's okay, AWOL. Everyone, it's going to be okay. Okay? I can fix this. outside of combat, do I need to use like a heal spell to help, or do I need to do like a medicine check to try and do some healing, or what's the right thing to do out of combat?
Well, you can certainly do, I think, either.
You can do the heal spell, or you could do medicine. You could treat wounds.
Treat wounds. Yeah, that'll just use your medicine skill.
There's something I have that lets me use my nature.
Yes, natural medicine.
You have natural healing, so instead of medicine, you can use nature. This means you'll spend 10 minutes doing this, which feels... Right now,
that
it feels
right
to you like that wouldn't be, that wouldn't be a problem. You can give this a shot. Would you like to try this?
I would love to. Yeah. Out of my bag, one of my little pouches, I pull out different herbs that I'm like crushing up. I'm like spitting into my hand. I'm making like a salve, to like cover over Olag's eyes. So I'm going, shh, it's okay. It's okay, Olag. It's okay. As I put those on his eyes and hope that they will do some healing. We just need to leave this on for just a little bit.
I'm just imagining Olag having to bend way over so that Yelka can even reach his eyes.
Yelka's like reaching up as high as she can as Olag is like kneeling. As I whack everything on my at my microphone here. as Olag's like kneeling down, yeah.
Yeah, I get down and sit like cross-legged on the earth.
Let me get that nature roll.
That's a 20 total.
That is, that's really good. DC is usually 15, I think, for this. It is. And that means that you get to heal some, you get to heal some damage. And
I think it's 1d8, right?
I have success 2d8.
Yeah, it's 2d8.
Wow.
Ooh. Even at first level. Amazing.
So the first one's a 6. The second one's a 4. That's 10 points,
that's
baby.
That's great. Yeah. Beautiful, wonderful, natural medicine.
Yes.
And Olag is still, like, as you're treating him, he's so ashamed of himself. And he's just like,
so I saw the birds, and I couldn't help myself. I left you again. Father always said we had to look out for each other.
It's okay. It's okay, Olag. You came running right back over to me. You couldn't even... How did you even know what direction to go with all this blood in your eyes?
I heard them, and I felt you.
And he like reaches out, sort of gently like grabs you by the wrist. And he says like, I will never let you come to harm again if I can help it.
I will always be here to protect you too, Olag. It's okay.
And he just, his huge lumbering form, he just kind of like rises up. He grabs his axe and yeah, and he's ready to go.
I will pick up on the ground. I imagine there's some scattered feathers from these ravens, and I'll pick a few up and I will take one that I will just kind of like shove into my very tight braid, and I will hand another over to Olag and say, we survived this today and this is for you to remember. And then I'll pick up two others and hand one to AWOL as well. And then I'll go over to Raga and say, Raga, thank you. I didn't know how we were going to get them to leave.
Oh, I...
And I'll hand her the feather, too.
This is a beautiful gift. Thank you so much. She sticks it somewhere in her braid. I did my best. I'm sorry I had to hurt them, but they were hurting you, and... You are like family to me now.
It's worth bringing up. Oh, I'm so sorry, Raga. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, this is proving more dangerous than perhaps I thought. Will you allow me to ask some of my friends in the area if there is more danger? Before we do anything rash, I don't want to run into harm again.
I don't want to have to hurt anything we don't have to either. I think... That sounds like a good idea. AWOL, Olag?
Oh, also, AWOL is bleeding. He's pretty cut up in the face.
Oh, no. I just ignore healing him.
Well, he seemed much finer. He seemed in much better shape. I don't know. It's just the kind of thing where we use treat wounds. He's got 3 points of damage. Maybe not, but it's like...
I will say that if AWOL is able to soon take, like, you know, a long rest... That sounds like the amount of damage he could probably heal just by resting. But I also am not trying to advise you to...
Yeah, no, it's fine. I think he's going to shrug it off because his focus is on the tracks. So could we say during this 10 minutes, while she was working on Olag, while Yelka was working on Olag, he wanted to go back and examine the tracks and maybe do a nature check or something of that.
I'm not going to make him do it again because he succeeded earlier. What I am going to do is say that you realize that the tracks go directly into this boulder that I just pointed out.
Into the boulder.
They go to the boulder and then vanish?
They vanish. They are moving. By the way, they are 10 toes, humanoid.
Okay.
And they go into the boulder and they're gone.
The back cave.
Oh my god, amazing. So he like watches, he follows the tracks to this stone and then slowly looks up at it. As he goes to walk back, Yalka suddenly walks up to him, hands him a raven feather, and Raga starts talking about bringing in these animals to discuss what's happening here. He's going to say,
there's a series of tracks. They go to this stone,
and he's looking like kind of like wide-eyed, like he doesn't understand. He's kind of shaking his head, pointing at the boulder,
and then they stop right there. I don't know, I feel like it's something we've never seen before. Maybe something these creatures won't know about, but maybe they will. Maybe they saw something of these tracks passing. You could ask.
I think that's a good idea, and depending on what they say, maybe we should, we've scouted. I think maybe we need to alert everyone back home about this.
Well, we don't really have any answers, do we? I think we could get a bit more.
Let me try. Let me just see. I want to see if there's any animals in the area. So I guess that's perception.
Great. Yeah, you may. And I think it's a good idea, since we're talking to Raga for a second, to just bring up the fact that Raga does have an anathema as a druid. And your anathema, and this is the reason maybe you were feeling a little bit contrite earlier, your anathema says you should never harm or kill animals unnecessarily. But In this particular case, you were, this says, it doesn't prevent you from defending yourself against animals or killing them cleanly for food.
Correct.
And I think that they were very clearly attacking
you. They were very clearly attacking us.
Defending yourself. Okay, so you want to search out animals in the area?
I do. I want to seek and see if there are any maybe burrowing mice or thrushes or anyone who may have like witnessed what happened here.
Give me a nature check.
12.
12 tells me that you don't see anything significant. You might see a bird flying high overhead. The ravens seem to have left, and now things are very quiet. Mm. You know, I'll tell you that you feel, because you used a nature check, and you are a druid, you feel another presence here somewhere in Rockloom.
Someone else is here. Someone else is here. We are not alone here.
Yes, I think you're right. I think it's over here.
And he's going to walk over again to the rock.
Oh my gosh, he
just sort of try and examine it. Like
slowly, Awol. Slowly.
It's fine. It's fine.
I don't think it is fine.
And he's going to examine the rock where the tracks end.
Yeah.
Perception? Maybe? Looking for.
Yeah, you can use perception if you'd like.
Sounds ineffective. That is a 25, though.
I guess you can use perception if you must. A 25 tells you that this rock does not hide a hole behind it. It does not. It's not covering any sort of opening.
Okay.
And yeah, it just sits at the base of this hill.
I would like to attack the rock.
I want to attack the darkness? Sorry. Okay.
Or throw a rock at it. I want to throw a rock at it.
You want to throw a rock at the rock?
I want to make contact with this rock. I want to see if it's an illusion.
Very good. You throw a rock, and it bounces off the rock onto the ground. Please move your character close enough where you might throw a rock.
Tink.
Off the side of the rock.
While this is happening, Yelka, I would like to come over to some of these tracks and get down on the ground and look at them. Do they look like anything we've learned about or seen before? Or perhaps, here's what's going through Yelka's mind, just as she starts almost like talking to herself. She says, I wonder, could it be something winged? What are the creatures in the world wound. What do they look like? Could something have
demons.
Like flown away? Could it be something horrible?
As someone raised in the Broken Tusk following here in the realm of the Mammoth Lords, you would be vaguely aware that the world wound released hordes of demons.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps you're afraid that a demon is here.
I am afraid. It might be irrational, but Yelka is afraid.
Would you like
of
to
that.
Use some sort of recall knowledge check to try to identify these tracks?
Yes, I would love to.
What skill would you like to use?
Well, this is what I was saying earlier, is I wanted to use nature. If it's not natural,
you may do that.
Oh,
creature, you may do that
work.
As well. Yeah, you may do that. Would you like to do that, AWOL?
Yeah, I'll use nature. I think that's the best chance I have. That's a 14.
A 14? You're not sure, but you think that...
Never seen anything like it.
You're not sure, but you think that there might
Ten
be some
toes,
sort of there
least.
Might be some sort of magic afoot.
Aha.
Would
it's unnatural, isn't it?
Doesn't seem right. What about occultism? Unless I don't need to also make a check if we're like we've had one already.
You could try that, although it looks like
if
anybody
fits.
Would be able to figure this out, it would be AWOL's nature check
right,
earlier.
Right, of course. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Olog, come here. You feeling all right?
Yes, I'm well.
You think you could move this rock?
Ha! Child's play,
says the 12-year-old. I'm gonna try to move the rock.
See if
you
can
rock.
Like push it up even or even just move it slightly to see because these tracks just disappear at it. It's very strange.
Yes.
Raga has positioned herself behind Baba.
Right.
She's weirded out.
Yeah, after earlier your attempt to kind of talk to animals didn't work, the only animal you sensed was Baba, who's kind of like questioningly kind of lowly growling at you. Olog, you're going to try to move this rock?
Yeah.
It's really large. It is what you might describe as a boulder.
Okay. I can't deny it. A personal test of strength, though.
Exactly.
He uses a boulder
Where
as
are you
a punching
rolling
bag.
It to? Where are you rolling
I'm just
going to
try to roll it away from AWOL and myself. Just
or towards the downhill way, right? Like
yeah,
the way
yeah.
that it would... You don't even have to slope. Roll it as much as just move it a little, right? See
yeah,
under
yeah.
it, but whatever.
Okay. Yes, you may give me an athletics check.
And I will do, and I will try to aid. So he's on it too. He's much smaller, but he's trying.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Give me an athletics check as well. You failed. Okay.
Fail on the aid.
18.
An 18 is not enough to move this boulder. It's very large.
The two of us are pushing.
At this point, if anybody would like to, the people that are rolling the boulder, if they would like to make a perception check, they may.
Mm. All right.
I want to identify magic. Now, when you guys are done with that.
18 perception.
8 for me.
Well, AWOL, perhaps when you kind of let your hands off the boulder, you know, winded from your attempt, you hear up the hill above you.
Stop.
Oh,
Olog.
My gosh.
Olog, do you hear that? Shh. Baba. Raga. Shh. And he points up the hill, Raga, like looking up from where you are. And he pulls out two blades. They're not metal, but he pulls out a stone short sword and then this kind of like bone knife looking thing, this curved bone knife. And he points with the stone short sword up the hill. And just indicating that there's danger and then being yeah. quiet.
Yelka sees this and will immediately like drop to the ground to initiate her like the stealth mode of sneaking up on prey that Weepa has taught them in the past.
And AWOL will move into the brush as stealthily as possible.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Trying to see if he can sneak up on this sound.
Yeah, give me a stealth check.
Man. It's for a stealth check since the natural one on his stealth. Come on, AWOL. There we go. That's better. 22.
Yeah.
22. Nice. I'm just... give me 1 second. I'm just checking to see... Okay, very good. You may climb the rest of the way up the hill without the thing noticing you.
Thing. Oh, boy.
And here's what you see. You see a very hairy creature.
Bigfoot?
It looks humanoid. Can you see it now?
Yeah.
I
do, yeah.
Yes. Long, pointed ears. A melancholy or morose look on its face. In fact, this very hairy being is sobbing. Very quietly. It has a beard that goes down in thick ropelets, braided hunks of red hair, and it covers its entire torso. It even covers down past where a loincloth would be, and long, spindly legs stick out from beneath its huge, hairy personage. And that's where we'll leave it for today.
Oh,
no!
So many questions.
Oh, man!
Does he have a raven head?
Oh, man. I have a feeling Raga's going to go up there and just kill him. First chance she gets.
Oh, or give him a big old hug.
Oh, Raga.
He seems sad.
He does. He seems sad.
Perhaps he needs a friend.
Is he actually sad?
What is he?
Or is it a trick?
legendary stories, awe-inspiring sound, and endless adventure. Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Fall in love with our core cast, or be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure, Three Black Halflings, and No Rolls Barred. Ignite your imagination and discover the realms of peril and glory today. Go to realmspod.com or search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Mick Unplugged, the number one podcast for self-improvement and modern leadership. I'm Mick Hunt, your host, and I'm here to challenge your why and fuel your because. This is where leaders, entrepreneurs, and go-getters come to level up. Each week, I bring you unfiltered conversations, game-changing strategies, and the kind of motivation that transforms lives and legacies. I've learned from legends like Les Brown, Damon John, and Robert Irvine. And now, I'm bringing their lessons, along with mine, straight to you. From modern leadership tips to creating unstoppable momentum, this is the podcast that redefines what's possible. Hit play, subscribe, and join the millions who've made Mick Unplugged their go-to source for growth and greatness. Because your next breakthrough is just one episode away. This is Mick Unplugged, the voice and face of modern leadership, entrepreneur, and self-improvement. Let's get started.